go, here we go, here we go.
Emmanuel, that was so good. Go again.
3, 2, 1,
time.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Movement for Life podcast, where we talk about ways to keep ourselves moving throughout our life. I'm one of your hosts, Colby Christofik, and we got JR here as well. And today we have a third awesome guest. His name is Mr. Patrick, or Pat Barber. He currently works for the Best Hour of Their Day / Affiliate University, doing some coaches development through the knowledge. Coaches development holds a close place in my heart. I love coaches development too. So if you're one of our spaces, you know that I like coaches development. I'm on board for that. So Pat's been a really cool inspiration for all that stuff. And I'm going to let Pat, before we get into 24.3 and a brief, what it is, some advice, I'm going to let Pat kind of introduce himself and tell us a little bit about himself.
Sure.
Go ahead.
My name is Pat Barber, like you said. You can call me Patrick or Pat. Either of those things work for me. I am unconcerned with the actual name. But I've been doing CrossFit for like 20 years, 20 plus years. I've been coaching for about 16 of those years, been on level one staff, teaching level ones, level twos. I've had the opportunity to work for some incredibly large gyms and do some unique little bit of work in coaching development with having kind of 80 coaches under my wing in a very localized space. I've traveled to multiple gyms and done coaching development. And these days I actually work for, like you said, for Best Hour of Their Day, doing coaching development in two different forms, one via educational content in our platform called The Knowledge, and then one in something called The Knowledge Pro, which is more hands-on live classes where we kind of go over coaching theory and homework and kind of everything in between. So I've done a lot of that. I've competed at the game 6 times, 3 times as an individual, 3 times as a team member. And, you know, my main focuses these days are I live in the mountains of Santa Cruz. I raise 4 sons and I like to build stuff. I enjoy fitness and it's a great, great thing to dig my life into because that's where I've got everything from. But these days it on the competitive side has taken quite the back seat to the rest of my life and doing the real important things, which is helping coaches deliver better classes.
I love that. And I feel like that doesn't mean that the necessarily open doesn't have a place. It's always a fun community event, especially being part of it. 99% of us, we aren't in it to be competitive in the quote unquote sense of trying to get to the CrossFit games. So
totally. I just did 24.2 right before this call. So
nice.
I didn't get the chance to register the score, but I just did it and it was painful and it was awesome. And heck yes.
JR, do you have anything you want to ask Pat before he
sure.
gives us the overview of 24.3?
You obviously have a lot of experience participating in previous opens. So how do you feel like the vibe of this year's open relates to previous years and your thoughts on whether it's a positive or a negative direction?
Yeah, I think overall, the general vibe of the community, to be honest, there's always going to be pessimists. And I think there's a lot of people who have very bleak outlooks on what's going on within the community. But a lot of those are very old guard style people. People who are relatively new to the community, who are experiencing a lot of these things for the first time, if you open your eyes, there's some really amazing stuff happening on all fronts, you know? And of course, there's still internal turmoil with the larger company of CrossFit and what's going on with ownership and management and da-da-da-da. But the heart and spirit of CrossFit, you know, since the games this last year has actually been pretty strong for me. And I happen to be in a unique place working with gyms who are succeeding. They don't come to us succeeding, but as they work with us and then they leave us, they're like really profoundly changing people's lives and they're positively, you know, financially benefiting from it as well. So I work with very motivated individuals. So I might have a slightly skewed perspective. But this open, to me, has been relatively indicative of the direction that we're headed. It doesn't feel like the old opens, like because the old opens were longer and brutal, and there was like more of a variance piece because there were heavy lifts and there were things like that. It feels like a new version of something that's like a surface level thing for anyone to kind of participate in, which is what the open was initially intended to be. And then it became like really hardcore CrossFit, where it was like, oh, it needed to have this one that was a strength and a lift, and it needed to be super varied across the stuff. And it's like, no, man, this is the first stage of a multi-stage gigantic process. This should be as inclusive and as straightforward as possible. And that's what I feel like this open did. Not too many weeks, not too crazy with the workouts. You know, you got this final workout with which adds some complexity to it. So you get that piece. But, you know, all in all, I think it's a great representation of the direction of the community and the desire for it to be all inclusive and built up, which is what it really is. I think this is I feel good about this open. It doesn't make the workouts any.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, with that said, why don't you go ahead and explain what 24.3 is?
Yeah, so 24.3, we've got a fun little ditty. 5 rounds, 10 thrusters with weight number 1. So you go 10 thrusters at whatever weight it is that you're choosing for your scale or your gender, whatever division that you're in. And then 10 jump or and then 10 pull-ups, chest to bars pull-ups specifically. And then again, that can change depending on the gender or the scale, whatever you're going on there. And you do 5 rounds of that. So 10 and 10, a total of 100 reps, 50 reps of each one of those movements. And then you're going to rest for a minute, which is probably the worst rest of all time, because rest is not a rest. It is a brief time for your heart rate to spike, to think that you're having the ability to recover, and then you're not going to recover. Because then you jump right into 5 rounds of 7 thrusters at the second weight, which is going to be a heavier load than you did in the first one, and 7 bar muscle-ups. So you've got less reps, heavier load, higher complexity, with a total time cap of 15 minutes, which is, for us normal people, that's a great time cap. It's a unique, special ditty.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have any initial thoughts for us on what you think about that?
I think it's going to be the type of workout that really varies depending on your ability level, right? So if you're newer or you have less capacity overall but can do these loadings, the main thing is about really attacking that front end of that 10 thrusters, 10 chest to bar pull-ups. It's only 100 total reps. It's about half the amount. Oh, no, is that 52? It's about the same number of reps as Fran, right?
Yeah, and 45 Fran, versus
the 50. First 100, or 95 total versus, or 90 total versus 100. So if you're newer to this, this first little bit is about really crushing it, and getting a good tiebreaker time for that. So you really kind of have to throw your all at it. But then I think there's another division of people who they have bar muscle ups and they're going to get some bar muscle ups. And that group of people is really going to separate themselves out from others. So that people, those types of people, they need to monitor how hard they're going in that first 5 rounds and make it something that it's manageable, but quick. So they shouldn't redline in that. So that's like that intermediate, like, hey, I'm going to get some bar muscle ups, but I may or may not finish. And then I think there's the people who are really trying to compete, who bar muscle ups are no problem for. And this is pretty much a riding your red line threshold the whole workout. Like, you can't go in a hole, but you also can't be comfortable. It's like, this is a pretty painful workout for somebody who has all of these. So in my head, I see 3 different types of groups of people. Some that are just going to really need to focus on the speed and the aggression that they have for that first set of movements. And then some who need to monitor that a little bit so they can get as many thrusters muscle ups as make sense for them. And then the final group who's really going to need to just be like, this is energy management to its finest.
Cool. So JR, what are your initial thoughts on this?
Yeah, I agree with what he said. I am going to be riding that threshold the entire time. I have to, you know, for in my specific situation, I'm really good at gymnastics. I'm a smaller guy, so I'm going to have to conserve whatever energy that I can in that first five rounds, you know, taking it at a slower pace. So when I get to the 135 thrusters, I'm going to be able to, my goal is to do 4 and 3. Like for me to go 7 unbroken for at that point would be really difficult. You know, for me to be able to do like the first couple rounds of unbroken muscle ups would definitely be my goal to maximize that. And I'm in that 45 to 49 year old group. So I feel mm-hmm. like, you know, my bread and butter is going to be the muscle ups. So yeah. I got to get as many of those as I can, but I'm going to have to survive those thrusters to make sure that I'm being as efficient as possible with the way that I move and making sure that I'm just not killing myself. So when I get to the muscle ups, I can get as many as possible. But I think for like, we know, when we're looking at this workout, we have to decide with our athletes if it is beneficial for them to try to go RX, if maybe they have a couple chest to bars or if they need to scale it. So it's going to be a conversation you have with your athletes. If they're looking at possibly doing maybe the first time they'll ever get a muscle up in a open workout or a workout period, and they've been really close, then let them decide, hey, like, I think it's safe. Like, we can get through these chest to bars. If we can have an opportunity to create some magic and get a special memory, then that would be amazing. But then also, we don't want people to be standing at a bar for minutes, failing over and over again, and then having that kind of crushed ego where, you know, it's a fine line of where we need to guide them and yeah, just have that conversation with each person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
one of the things too to note is the double pull. So you've got a double squat and double pull, you know, and where bar muscle ups might be great fresh for someone, or like they're struggling and they can maybe get one kind of fresh after all the chest to bar pull ups.
After 50 chest to bars.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a different story. So, but at the same time, if there was a time to, for me, the open represents that one time a year where it's like, I'm going to let you go closer to RX than I might normally. Because if there was a time to stand and stare at the bar for a little while, the open's the time. Like in any given class, never. Like for me, it's never going to be the case. But at the open, just that it's different. It's got that little uniqueness of like, I'm okay if you get there and go, damn, I can't. Because in one sense, that's demoralizing. In the other sense, it's like, I have something to work on. Yeah, invigorating. Like, look at me. Like, I made it here, but now I've got a year to make it so this doesn't happen again. And I can either face that and pursue that headlong and seek JR out and be like, get me a muscle up, coach. Let's do this. Or I can implode. And depending on how we support them there, and I think that there's some psychological hurdles to be jumped over, and that would be amazing for some people.
Yeah, those special moments that you get in the open where someone gets that new skill that they've been so close to doing, it's magical. So I totally agree with you, and I'm on board. As long as they can get through the other stuff safe, that's going to be my number one goal.
Yeah.
My initial thoughts are this is like a good way to appease some of the old school CrossFitters who are like, I want the 5 week brutal tests for the open, because this is really the first open workout that you look at it and like, there's going to be people who have RX'd the last couple of workouts who definitely are not going to be able to RX this. And so it's kind of like a separator where some of those people that are like, oh yes, I was really hoping for some crazy stuff. Like this is where they get excited. But I think that it's been such a good balance that, you know, you kind of talk about letting that person stand at that bar, like, because the last 2 weeks has been so inclusive and so like building people up, seeing something like this and letting it happen hopefully brings in a little bit of motivation to say, hey, you know what? Last year I did 2 of those workouts RX, and this year, like, and the third week was really difficult, but this year I'm going to get RX for all 3 weeks or whatever it may be. I think it's both appeasing to those old school CrossFitters who are like, yes, I'm stoked that I'm seeing 135, like 135 pound thruster for an intermediate.
No joke. That's no joke.
That's a heavy thruster.
I weigh 138. So that's a body weight thruster.
That's a body weight thruster. And so I think that, you know, not even that might be even overlooked, right? Like, hey, you got to do 135 pound thrusters. Like, there's a lot of people that might not be able to do that. Not let alone, you know, a chest bar pull up or a muscle up. But hopefully it's been encouraging enough in the last couple of weeks that they feel like, hey, maybe I do scale today. I didn't do RX this week. And it motivates me to try to get, work on some of these things like a bar muscle up or a chest bar, or totally. Kind of think about, oh, like maybe I should try to go a little bit heavier on a thruster every once in a while in a workout. All right, those are my initial thoughts. Pat, you kind of gave us a good overview of the beginner athlete, the intermediate athlete, the advanced athlete. I kind of want to give JR an opportunity to give us his thoughts on, hey, what should the beginner athlete do, the intermediate athlete do, and the advanced athlete do. And then before we do that, actually, Pat, I want to get your thoughts on at what point do you think somebody should do scaled versus RX here? Is there like kind of a threshold where you're like, you know what, if somebody can't do this or this, like they should probably do scaled instead. And then I'll let JR go into his advanced, intermediate, and beginner.
Yeah. I mean, if you think you can do, like, this is the type of workout that I think if you can do chest to bar pull-ups, like even if it's singles, I don't have an issue with you doing one at a time, relatively quick singles, and moving your way through these five rounds and then getting over to the other part. So if you've built up and you can do single chest to bar pull-ups with relative, you know, ease, it's just hard for you to maybe cycle multiples in a row. I'd be okay with that personally as a coach. And then as far as the thrusters go, the thrusters you should be able to get done at least in sets of 6 and 4. It shouldn't be 3 sets to get the thrusters done. If you're having to do 3 sets to get the thrusters done, I think that weight's too heavy for you. And it just would be inappropriate for you to even attempt this RX. But I would say, I don't know. Chest bar pull-up's an interesting one. It have to be like who you are as an athlete would need to match. Like I said, there are athletes who can do singles, so I wouldn't let them do this. But I think an athlete who could do singles and maybe do sets of 5 or 10 unbroken if they weren't chest bar, that would kind of be the mediator for me.
Mm. Cool.
Great. All right, JR. Totally. Yeah. I think that when we're talking about like the beginners, when we're going through whether it's scaling or scaling or going RX for those beginners, I agree. I think that I'm a big fan of, in this moment, if you've been able to get through singles chest to bar. I've seen people do singles only in these kind of workouts and end up passing people who can do multiple because they're super efficient and there's not that extra flopping at the bottom, double tap swings that you see some people trying to do. It's just less energy outputted and they can do those more efficient because they have a good first kip into that move. Totally fine. We have a lot of athletes here who can do great singles, kind of like riding through, and they just go up, come down. Go up, come down, and it looks great, you know? And they're probably outputting less energy than somebody who's doing butterfly or kipping and having to do longer rests in between those sets. So they end up potentially passing them. So that's fine. For me, you know, whether they can do the, you know, I'd want them to be able to do at least five or so unbroken 155 thrusters when they're fresh. You know, I do want to say like something that Pat reminded me of, like a lot of the people who are kind of at that, oh, do we have them go their beginner? Do we have them go RX or we have them go scaled? A lot of them, it would be a huge victory for them just to get through those 5 rounds of the first RX movements, 5 rounds of those thrusters and 5 rounds of those chest to bars. That might be a huge accomplishment for them. And so I would be okay with letting somebody who's a beginner go through and just be able to get through that amount of work and say, I did RX all 3 weeks. I did it, and that's great. You know, like we know they don't have a muscle up. 155 might be challenging. So there you go. Then that's kind of where I would divide the line between whether they scale that or they go RX. And when it comes to like the intermediate athlete, breaking these up into manageable chunks, you know, like going off and maybe doing 5 and 5 every round for that first section so they don't completely burn themselves out, knowing that 155 is going to be challenging for them, and then breaking it up to whether it's like 3-2-2, like I, you know, if I can get through 4-3, like I said, that would be a huge victory for me. And then just allowing whatever kind of maintenance during that phase to hold over to or roll over to the muscle up so they can get those. And again, singles is fine. Like jump up, do a nice big kip, go in, jump down. Don't worry about trying to like connect those. It's fine. And then for the person who's advanced, then you know, I'm going to say, you know, we're going unbroken on all those thrusters. You're going up, and maybe it still is a good idea for you to go 5 and 5 chest to bars just to, you know, allow for a little bit of kind of stay away from, you know, completely redlining that first part. And like, yeah. I always think a minute rest is cruel and cruel, unusual punishment because it seems like you're getting something, and it actually, to me, makes it worse because yeah, I don't have as much time, and I'm assuming that we can have people assist us changing the weight on the bar, or do we have to do it ourselves?
I think you can have people help you.
All right. You know, most of the time, or it's sometimes in the past where we've had to change it ourselves, it's like that minute is only for reserved for me to change that weight on the bar, and that makes it even worse. You know, like, great, thanks. I'm not getting any rest, and I'm having to lean over, and like I'm in a hunched position trying to change weight, and I'm stressed out about making, you know, like that minute. You know, and then for them, like getting through those muscle ups, can you go, you know, how many unbroken muscle ups for that advanced athlete can they get through?
Cool. Sweet. I'll give some of my thoughts as well on beginner and intermediate advanced athletes. Beginner athletes, I think kind of a good deciding factor, which is kind of what we've all, you know, hinted at, is like, hey, if you can try to get through those first 5 rounds, that should be the goal of this workout. Like, this is a win for you if you can complete 5 rounds, whether it's RX or whether it's scaled or whether it's foundations. So the goal being, hey, let's try to get through 5 rounds. I think the scaled version is a jumping chest to bar. I still think that trying to get through, for somebody who's a beginner athlete, like trying to get through 50 jumping chest to bars is still going to be fairly difficult, especially when it's paired with a thruster. The thruster I think is like 45 pounds for scaled, for ladies, and 65 for men. So again, that's not, it's not nothing for 50 reps. And then I think, you know, that'll allow people, those beginner athletes who don't have any chest to bars, that jumping chest to bar, they're going to be able to finish, those rounds and probably less than 10 minutes and give them some opportunity to try something like a kipping pull-up. So maybe we see some first pull-ups out of today as well, out of a couple of people who choose to do scaled. You know, maybe some of those beginner athletes like get their first chest to bar and say, hey, I'm going to try to do it RX and get 1 or 2 chest to bars. In our intramural open, we're giving points for a PR. So if you've never done a chest to bar and like you want to get some points for your team and you're like, let me try to do a chest to bar, even though this wasn't really a workout for you, like maybe that's a reason to do something like get a PR in this workout and just get 10 thrusters and 7 chest to bars that you've never gotten before and be like, well, it wasn't a good 15-minute workout, but I got my team a couple of points and I feel accomplished and like psyched up on it. Oh, yeah. The intermediate athletes, I think you guys have all hinted this even on the advanced as well, is like you can't, it's like the meme, it's a trap. The 50 chest to bar pull-ups is so much volume. Yeah. And to think that you could just go 50 chest to bar pull-ups and then be fine for muscle-ups is insane. It's crazy. So I think that those intermediate athletes, even if you do have chest to bar pull-ups, should be breaking up those chest to bar pull-ups and slowing themselves down pretty significantly on that first half, so that when they get to the 135 thrusters and the bar muscle ups, they're not just standing there looking at the bar being like, oh, I completely fried myself out and I can't do anything. Yeah. I think slowing themselves down to that 8 minute range on the first half, which is like, well, if I could do Fran way faster, like it's not going to be about the first half. It's going to be about how many muscle ups you can get in that second half. And I think like, hey, those 135 thrusters are also going to catch up. So if you go out slower, you're going to feel better on those 135 thrusters. And then I think those high level athletes, the you kind of have to push that line a little bit, but we watched some of the open announcement. You even saw like some of the gals, they did the first few rounds of chest to bars unbroken. They did the first, all the sets of thrusters unbroken. Then they went in to do their muscle ups and they were doing like 4-3, 4-2-2 or like 3-2-2. Their muscle ups were getting super fatigued and they were like sitting there looking at the bar and it's like, okay, the 15 seconds that you saved in the first half of the workout, you just lost looking at the bar instead of maybe going a little bit slower. So trying to redline, but not going too fast for that first half, which is, it's deceiving because you think, oh, I can go fast because I have that minute. But we've already talked about it. Like a minute is also not enough time.
I mean, it's trash.
Yeah. Cool. I'm excited for this. This is a fun, like old school CrossFit workout. I think it's going to suck. It's going to hurt. But it's going to be quite a bit of fun. I kind of want to finish up. This is the last week of the open. Pat, I know you've participated in, can I say, more than a dozen? I guess has there been a dozen? There's
every
been 13.
Single one. Yeah. Every single one that's ever been.
You've been a part of this for a very long time. Do you have any thoughts or, you know, comments for anybody that's listening that's doing the open? Like, why do this? Like, what's the point of this? Is it, should we do it next year? Whatever else you want to.
Yeah. I mean, the open is a mark in time and it's just noting kind of what's going on for you. And I think why do it? It's because everybody else is. It's an opportunity to just have this big fun event and treat it very lightly. It's lightly and heavily in the same go. Like if it, whatever you do, you do. And like the beauty of CrossFit is you can only give what you got. I think that that's my favorite part about it. Someone's not going to outplay you on the day. It's just like you go in and you do what you can. And that's a very finite thing. And it is what it is. Try to enjoy yourself as much as possible. Feel those nerves that you feel ahead of time more so than normal workouts. I know for the open, it's like one of those things that like right before 3-2-1 go, you're sitting there and all of a sudden your heart's racing harder than it normally does, even though you do this every day.
Yeah.
But just embrace it. And like my biggest thing that helped me was I would just smile a bunch right beforehand. Even if it was fake, I was just smiling as much as I could and being like, all right, here we go. You know, like it's just a workout. And then the last thing I would just say is just don't forget to breathe. A really common thing on the competition floor that a lot of people do is they're so amped up that they forget to breathe. So they'll jump up and they'll do 10 thrusters and they'll do them holding their breath. And you're like, holy criminy, no dice.
Yes.
It's just going to put you in a hole. So just stay breathing. Like breath is 100% key to this. And it'll come faster than you normally would just because of the heart rate. But stay calm via your breath. Pay attention to that. And smile.
Sweet.
I'm going to smile a lot tomorrow. Smile.
Good.
Just for that.
Because JR, what have we been saying the theme for this entire open is?
Just have fun and relax. And this has been a year of no redos. I have not redone one yet. The first time in history. And I'm not going to redo this one. I'm just going in and having fun. And I've actually, we'll say this has been the only year of all the times I've done it that I'm not feeling injured. My body's not broke down. I've recovered like just the next day. I feel great. And I'm not in the absolute best shape I've ever been in during an open. However, I think my mindset has really allowed me to just let my body relax more and I'm not so tense and I'm enjoying this so much more than I ever have.
Heck yeah.
Good. I think Pat and I are on the same page in that. Like, man, we just like to have fun.
Yeah.
And if it's not fun, it's not worth it. So just have fun. Cool. Awesome. We're excited to do this with you guys tomorrow night. JR is going to get on editing. We're going to make this out for you guys and available tonight. We'll see you all.
Hold on, before we leave, Colby always likes to guess what he's going to do. And he has correctly pretty much guessed what last week he said 9-10 rounds. And we were like, that's BS. No way. And he was 11 double unders from getting the 10 rounds.
Oh, nice.
Had he not, Had he not stopped, jumped off his rower right at the 3-2-1 count to turn his camera on and then go back to his rower, he probably would have done the 11 and got the 10 rounds. I know, right? So, but I'm Colby, what do you
fun.
Think you're going to do tomorrow?
I wasn't going to redo that. It was for fun.
No, there's no reason to. But tell us where you think you're going to get with this.
I think I'll finish. I think I'm going to try to do sub 12 minutes is what I've given myself. I think I saw the fastest person this today when they did the announcement was like 9-something, which I was like, holy
crap. Like 9:30-ish.
And everything was unbroken. I'm definitely breaking up all my stuff. I'm going to try to do an EMOM for the first one. So that puts me like a 5 minutes. I'll break up all of those chest to bars. I actually kind of like that better than doing 21:15:9. Doing sets of 10. I feel like that's a little bit more manageable going back and forth between the two. And then sets of 7 thrusters, that's just going to skyrocket my heart rate. So I'll probably try to just stick with like 4 and 3. I know that's going to fall apart. So I'll probably be like 3-2-2 on my muscle ups and see if I can hold it to between 12 and 13 minutes.
Mm. Nice.
Pat or JR, do you guys have an idea of what you think you would be able to do?
Oh, I don't think I'm going to finish this bad boy, but I will definitely try, but I think the capacity required is outside my range at the moment. So I think I'll get probably maybe 2 rounds into the second part of it.
Which is actually like, probably for the amount of training that you were currently doing is probably really good. And for the average person is going to be like insane. They're like, what? You're saying that you're out of shape and get 2 rounds into the muscle ups. Like that's insane.
It's going to be.
What about you, JR?
I'm just going to go and have fun. I have zero expectations. So we're just going to go in and we're going to do, and I'm going to go in with like my plan of how I'm going to do the rep scheme, and however far it takes me is how far it takes me.
JR has a number for sure. He knows exactly.
I do not have a number.
He's like, but if I tell it out loud, then I have to get it.
That's awesome.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys all next time.
Sounds good.
Right, good luck, everybody.
Here we go.
Emmanuel, that was so good. Go again.
3, 2, 1,
5.